Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is just mock draft season to a T. Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay had a dueling mock draft where Mel made one pick, then Todd made the next, and they went so-and-so. So I saw this. I said, you know what? We're going to see if Caroline can do this. We're going to see if she can put together a good draft.
Well, if I can do it.
We're going to see if you can put together a good draft.
You're underestimating me.
Well, how are we supposed to know? Now's going to be the first time. Let me start off, though, first by saying this. As many people well know, Derek Chauvin in Minnesota, the officer who killed George Floyd, was found guilty on all three charges he was facing. I'm not one to sit here and make this something more than a sports show, because that's what it is. But if you don't think that the cultural growth of the country is rooted in sports, you don't understand sports. You don't understand Muhammad Ali. You don't understand Jackie Robinson. You don't understand Auburn and Alabama football. The truth is in this country, slights against African-American people have happened for far too long. And it may not be as bad as it once was, but that doesn't mean that we can't do what's right, we can't believe in what's right, and we can't all be together and stand up for justice. Today, it feels like justice was served. And I'm glad that we can celebrate as a society, not that justice was served, not that someone's going to jail, not that, but that perhaps we as a society are starting to make a little bit of progress. Because it's been a rough couple of years. But I think anytime you look in the history of the country, especially surrounding sports, you've needed a rough patch in order for growth. And I hope that's the path we're on. So I just wanted to say that. And now to the dueling mock draft. So I'm going to pick first because, I mean, I just want to. So, Ian, if you will, with the number one pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence.
Shocker.
I'm going Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. I'll just leave it at
groundbreaking.
That. His comments do not concern me. I will go Trevor Lawrence number one. You're now on the clock. The Jets.
And with the number two pick in the Jared and Caroline draft, the Jets select Zach Wilson. That's their dude. There's really no interpretation there.
Ooh, goody. I get to pick third. This is why I wanted this. I want to be able to pick third. I'm picking Mac Jones. And here's why I'm picking Mac Jones. Because the Shanahan system doesn't want mobile quarterbacks. They don't want mobile quarterbacks. The most mobile they want is Jake Plummer. The most mobile they want is Ryan Tannehill. They don't want mobile quarterbacks. They want Matt Ryan. And a lot of people say that Mac Jones is kind of like Matt Ryan. I don't know if I believe it, but they say it. So I'm going Mac Jones here with the third pick.
Fourth pick, Falcons have it. And going off of that same point, the Shanahan system, which Arthur Smith, new head coach of the Falcons, runs.
True.
So a lot of people are mocking Justin Fields to go to the Falcons. Justin Fields does not fit that system. Atlanta needs a tight end. Kyle Pitts is the absolute best tight end in this draft. So in the number four pick, I'm taking Kyle Pitts. He can block. He's fast. He's big. He's tough to cover. And if he's available and you need a tight end, you take him while you can.
I get the Bengals at five. I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. I think he's the second best player. I think he's the second best player in the draft behind Trevor Lawrence. And even though the Bengals will screw it up because they're the Bengals, I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU.
Dang it.
That's who you want to take at six, isn't it?
That's why I wanted to take it six, because I think the Bengals should take Penei Sewell. So, with the number six pick, I'm protecting my quarterback that I drafted last year if I'm the Dolphins. So, I am going to take Penei Sewell at six.
Didn't they just take a tackle?
They did.
Anywho,
I just don't think that Miami's line is complete.
I'm Detroit at seven. I don't get to make I don't get to make trades like Mel and Todd made a trade here. I'm Detroit at seven, and I'm going to go with Devontae Smith. I think that if I'm Detroit, the way I want to play this is I want Jared Goff to be my quarterback, and I want to give him some help. and I want to be able to use those Rams picks, not for quarterbacks in the future. So I'm going to go Devontae Smith with the 7th overall pick to the Detroit Lions.
Eighth overall pick, Carolina. They need an offensive tackle. I'm taking Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern.
Oh. I'm waiting for the music. All right, here we go. I'm the Denver Broncos. They got no quarterback, and you just gave me Justin Fields. Because right now, the Denver Broncos, like, I like Drew Lock fine. I think Drew Lock is better than he gets credit for. I think that Denver would love to trade up and get a quarterback. I think Denver wanted Deshaun Watson. Instead, they sit at 9 and get Justin Fields. That will never happen in the real draft. But I'm going Justin Fields at 9.
Number 10, I've got Dallas. I'm taking Patrick Surtain, corner out of Alabama. They need a corner. He's the best corner available.
New York Giants have the 11th overall pick in the draft. The New York Giants are going to take the best defensive player in this draft, Micah Parsons, the linebacker out of Penn State. He is a playmaker. He is a baller. I'm not going to say he's Ray Lewis, but he's a baller. At 11, the Giants go defense because they need it, and they go Micah Parsons.
I'm Philly at 12. Philly needs a wide receiver bad.
Philly needs everything.
Philly needs everything, but if the Heisman Trophy winner is available, you take him if you need him. So I'm taking Devontae Smith at 12.
He's already off the board. I already took him.
Oh, when did you take him?
Detroit.
Dang it. Then I'll take Jalen Waddle, next best available wide receiver.
The slot receiver. Okay, 13, the Chargers. I love the Chargers team. I do. I think the Chargers take J.C. Horn. That's who I would take at number 12, at number 13, excuse me. I think it's a little up there, but I think they look at J.C. Horn as the kind of guy who on one play can match up with Tyreek Hill and on another match up with Travis Kelce. And that's what you have to have in that division. Everyone will talk about helping Herbert, and I understand it, but I think you got to look at the offenses you got to play, mainly Mahomes in Kansas City, J.C. Horn at 13 to the Chargers.
Now, the Vikings need help on both sides of the ball. They need help on their offensive line. They need help on their defensive line. But if you have that many glaring needs on one side, I'm taking Elijah Farrah Tucker. He can play an offensive line position. He can also play the guard position. He's an incredibly versatile lineman, so I'm taking him 14 to the Vikings.
So I got the Patriots at 15. Trey Lance, the quarterback out of North Dakota State. Why? Because Cam Newton sucks. Trey Lance, 15 overall to the Patriots. Again, I don't think this will ever happen in the real draft, but I'm going with Cam.
Now, you said you wanted to go J.C. Horn, but did you take him to the Chargers?
I did take him to the Chargers.
Well, then I'm going to take the next available corner because the Cardinals need a corner bad, and they're going to be facing against – when you're looking at the NFC West wide receivers, you've got a pretty tall order. So I'm going to take the next best available, in my opinion, the next best available corner in Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech corner, to the Cardinals.
They do need that. So the Raiders sit at 17. You talk about another team that needs everything. I'm going to take Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech. He's probably a top 15 pick. I doubt he makes it all the way to 17, but he has on this board. So if I'm the Raiders, I'm going there because they are totally rebuilding their offensive line. And I think you need a right tackle, Colton Miller on the left. I think you need a right tackle for Derek Carr and for Josh Jacobs. So that's Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech.
The Dolphins need a linebacker, and I think I'm going to take Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa out of Notre Dame. Not addressing their wide receiver needs in here, but that's okay. We're gonna drop down to the second round for that one, since our guy was taken, number 5, to the Bengals.
The Washington football team is on the clock here at 19, and if I'm the Washington football team, I'm going outside the box. I'm taking running back. I'm going Najee Harris of Alabama with the 19th overall pick because I think ultimately they would love to get a quarterback, but they're not going to be able to. So go out and get a running back. I think if Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, these Alabama running backs, there used to be a saying that they couldn't play in the league. Clearly they can. Alvin Kamara can play in the league. These guys can play. Najee Harris is a bad boy. He goes at 19 to the Washington football team.
The Bears just need some help on offense. So, you know, you could take a running back here, you could take a quarterback here, but I'm going to go with Kadarius Toney out of Florida to Chicago.
At 20?
At 20.
It's a hot take. The Indianapolis Colts have got to rebuild their defensive line. Why? Because, quite frankly, they need some help next to DeForest Buckner on that line. I think they go Azeez Ojulari at 21. I think they play him as kind of a hybrid, you know, linebacker, not so. I think Indianapolis goes Ojulari at 21 out of Georgia. Oh, big pick here. Big pick.
And that's who I wanted to pick.
At 22 for the Titans.
At 22 for the Titans. I have stressed this so hard that the Titans need to go defense in this draft in the first round. I totally understand why people want Elijah Moore. I get it. I see it. I wanted to go Azeez Ojulari, but I'm going to go with what is likely, what would a lot of people think is the best edge rusher in this draft. So I'm going to go Jalen Phillips, defensive end out of Miami.
I gave you that option. The Jets are at 23. Robert Saleh runs that San Francisco-style defense. They need good defensive linemen. I'll go Quiddy Pay out of Michigan, kind of a defensive end-type player. I think that's where they go for the Jets, 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 Jets.
Now, you took my running back. So, since Pittsburgh just lost their top running back in James Conner, I'm going to go Travis Etienne, running back out of Clemson.
Man, you are a need person. Draft for need.
I do draft for need. I think the Steelers don't have a great run game. They lost their number one running back. I say go with what you need there.
I am sitting here now with the Jacksonville Jaguars with the 25th pick. And I am going all the way up because there are still some players left on the board from early in this draft that we didn't necessarily take. And I am going to go up and take the best safety on the board, Trevon Moehrig out of TCU. A lot of people think he's going to be a top 15 pick. I'm going to take him with a value pick at Jacksonville at 25.
The Browns have the 26th pick. They need some help on defense. They have our friend Jadeveon Clowney, but I think they're going to need even more assistance on defense. So is Quiddy Pay available on the board?
No, he's not. I took him.
Bear with me here.
Got to be ready on the draft.
I know. I'm
sorry.
I'm not a very good GM. Let's see what we haven't taken here.
I'm just sitting
this
here.
This is hard. I don't want to be picking 26 in the draft. I'm glad that I'm not a GM. I am going to take Can I take Christian Barmore?
You can.
I'm going to take Christian Barmore.
Ravens at 27. I'm going Elijah Moore. Wide receiver. They need it. He's there. 27. Everybody sold me on Elijah Moore. Ravens at 27. Take him.
Houdat Nation. The Saints pick at 28. There was not a lot of depth in that wide receiver position this past year. Yeah, you have Mike Thomas, but you need to add a little bit of depth on the wide receiver front. Did you take Rashad Bateman?
I did not.
I'm going to take Rashad Bateman to New Orleans.
29, the Green Bay Packers. They lose Pro Bowl center Corey Linsley. I go Landon Dickerson, the Pro Bowl center. The center out of Alabama, Landon Dickerson at 29 to Green Bay.
The Bills had a super explosive offense, but they just need a little bit of help on defense. So I'm going to select Asante Samuel Jr. to help out that defense a bit in Buffalo.
Kansas City Chiefs, they need tackles. Sitting there on the board, Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. I think he is an eventual long-term option at tackle. They're paying their guards a bunch of money, so you need cheap tackles. Kansas City goes Tevin Jenkins at 31. Defending Super Bowl champs?
Defending Super Bowl champs. It just doesn't feel like the Bucs have a ton of needs. But I'm just going to take the best available. Who do we have available here?
The best available would be Jamin Davis, the linebacker out of Kentucky.
But I mean, the Bucs
you've
are
already
so,
got you've already got Devin White,
got
Levante
Devin White.
David.
You have no needs at linebacker there. You can take an offensive tackle.
But you're talking about perhaps the 10th best player, 15th best player in the draft with the 32nd pick.
I mean, go ahead and go
and
for
Levante
it.
And Levante David isn't young.
Right. Devin White is young, but you're going to have future needs come up and, you know, knock on wood injuries. So let's snag a linebacker.
Jamin Davis.
Jamin Davis, 32nd pick. Welcome to Tampa Bay.
Ian, what did you think of Caroline's mock draft?
I thought both of y'all had some good picks in there.
I thought I had some great picks. I'm just modestly keeping it real. We'll get your reaction. 615-737-1025. It made my day. Made my day watching Caroline struggle with that Browns pick. It really did. 615-737-1025. We're live from the Whole Selling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. So we just had dueling mock drafts. Caroline's first experience kind of getting held up on the radio. I was proud of you.
Thank you very much.
But we went pretty long, so we got Hal Gill coming up. So unless you got a thought, to the phones.
To the phones.
Phones, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dalton, up next on Cincinnati with the fifth pick. Go ahead, Dalton.
Hey, Jared. I love the show. That pick is a grand slam home run. The Bengals have always had really good receivers, picking Collinsworth, Chad, TJ, AJ. A lot of people want the linemen. I don't want it. Jamar Chase is like a real X factor, and Cincinnati taking him, putting him back with Joe Burrow, they're going to look great in those new uniforms.
Thank you for your call, Dalton. By the way, I don't mind the Bengals' new uniforms. Let me say this. The reason, so I went with Chase over Penei Sewell. Did we draft Penei Sewell?
Yeah, I did, to the Dolphins.
Okay. So I went Chase over Sewell at 5. And the only reason I did, I mean, I think, you know, if you're drafting for need, I'm not a need guy. If you're drafting for need, I think you go Sewell. Because you've got Tyler Boyd, you've got T. Higgins, but I take the best player. And to me, the draft goes like this. Trevor Lawrence 1, Jamar Chase 2, Kyle Pitts 3. That's how I look at this draft. And I don't forget what Jamar Chase did in 2019. Because I think there's a lot of people who kind of do. That are like, just, to put this in perspective, last year, Justin Jefferson was the rookie of the year. Maybe a top 10 receiver in the league. Stephon Diggs, whose spot he took, went on to Buffalo, had an MVP-level season at the receiver position, and you can argue that Justin Jefferson was just as good in Minnesota. Well, and look, Jamar Chase was better than Justin Jefferson at LSU.
Nobody in this room is going to forget about what Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow did at LSU, if it's not me. I would remember that more than anyone, and nobody wants Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow together more than I do as an LSU alum. I would love to see that more than anything. But Joe Burrow cannot throw the ball to Jamar Chase if Joe Burrow is on the ground.
Sure, but I can worry about that later. I'm getting the best players. If I have the best players, then ultimately, I mean, I can go get a tackle in the second round. I can trade back at some point, add a tackle in the third round. I mean, I can get guys. Joe Burrow might be on the ground this year, but I got the best player. I got the best player in the last two drafts. That's the way I would look at it. Hal Gill, the Predators are apparently red, freaking hot. Hal Gill will join us coming up next. What does Hal think about this hot streak? Is he like me and believes, hey, it's good, but, or is Hal a big believer? We'll check in. Hal Gill will join us coming up next. Hey, Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the word GOLF now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text GOLF right now to 615-737-1025 to enter to win. Hal Gill next, Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 1025, The Game. The Predators got back on track. Big win last night against Chicago. They needed it because Dallas pulled another one out of their rear ends against Detroit. They've got three more with Detroit. The Predators have two more with the Blackhawks. It is almost like a horse race. Down the stretch they go. We'll see. Hal Gill joins us now on the program, Preds radio analyst. Hal presented by Duncan, featuring their new location in Belle Meade, and TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. Hal, I am torn with how I feel about the Predators, and here's why. Because on one hand, I looked at the games against Carolina, where I thought they played hard. I thought they, you know, they got into it, but Carolina was just too freaking good. Nothing against the Predators. I'm just looking at Carolina thinking, man, if this is a playoff series, that's going to be a quick exit because Carolina is freaking good. But then on the other hand, as soon as they play somebody worse, they get right back to their winning ways. So it looks like all the good things we like are continuing. I just don't know how they can do against the good teams after what I saw this weekend. What do you think?
Well, I partly agree with you. It's kind of trying to figure out what this team is. Do they have a chance to do it? Obviously, if you get them a little bit healthier, then you throw in Tolvanen and Forsberg out there. I think you're going to see it. Obviously, you see a difference in the power play, which makes a big difference in games. But it was interesting talking to John Hines. He kind of was alluding to the fact that you want to go out and correct everything you did wrong against Carolina and make it right, but at the same time you do have to tip your hat to a good team that goes out and is firing on all cylinders. So I was really impressed with Carolina. That's as good a team as I've seen play, and they were really tough to stop. And that being said, I feel like the Preds were in that game in large part. You can say, oh, Juice was awesome, Saros was fantastic, and he kept in it, but I felt like they could compete if they just clean up their game, and then, you know, anything can happen once you clean up your game. And so they cleaned up their game, a much better game against Chicago, and they got results. But it's really going to come down to what they can do against the big teams that aren't going to give them much, and you have to be willing to battle it out with those guys. Where Chicago, you know, there's some plays that they kind of gave the Preds, and it's a lot easier to win when you're given a few things.
How would you have felt as a player, you know, knowing that Carolina or Tampa Bay is a likely first-round opponent if you make the playoffs? Does that factor in your mind at all, like the measuring stick element of what we saw this weekend?
Well, I do think there's a certain respect or fear. I call it a good fear. You want to fear a team that you're playing against. You want to be a little bit scared to get embarrassed. And so, you know, anytime you take a great team, well, you know, like Tampa, you're really up and down the line. Tampa, Florida, and Carolina are all good teams. So you have to be a little bit afraid. You have to have a ton of respect for them. But at the same time, are they beatable? Absolutely. You put them into a playoff series, and although it seems like this whole season has kind of been a playoff series after playoff series, and you've got three games against Chicago, this certainly feels like a series. But when you get into a seven-game series, anything can happen. And, you know, you can set the tone and change games. You can change the momentum by a win. And that's kind of what they're looking to do. And I think the work that they've done in kind of solidifying their all-around game, I think that could pay off in the playoffs. But we have to get there first, right?
Hal Gill's our guest. Hal, you've been on some really good teams. You've won a cup before. It almost feels like the way things have happened the last 4 years with the trip to the Stanley Cup final, the President's Trophy, You know, even that 2019 year when they lost in the first round to Dallas, everything was about the cup. Or like, hey, if you're going to compete for the cup, you got to be able to do this, that, or the other. Right now, I don't think the Predators have a team that can compete for the cup. And I think we learned that this weekend because I think Carolina is, I'm with you. I mean, I walked out of that series thinking, man, they are freaking good. I wasn't mad at the Predators. I was just looking at Carolina saying, hey, that's how it's done. But, I mean, like in hockey, everybody can't win the trophy every year. And some years you're playoff caliber, some years you're. But for some reason, I personally, Hal, have a hard time getting out of the mindset that our expectation level should be trying to win the cup. What, how do you assess the real expectation level of a team like that?
You know what? The whole thing is, to quote you, the Predators stink, and they stunk, and they were awful. They had a bad team not too long ago. It was two months ago. They were not good, and they've turned it around. And so you look at Carolina, and you say, wow, that's the best. It could go south quick. And that's the hard part about hockey is that you can change your stars pretty quick. And so I do think the Preds are tracking the right way and they're doing all the right things. Carolina obviously was at the top of their game when the Preds played them, but that can all turn around. So, you know, once you get in, and I know you hate to hear this, but if you get into the dance, anything can happen. And so, if you get on a roll and you match up well against the team and you get a couple bounces and, you know, could be your power play that lights off. It could be penalty kill that gets the job done. It could be your fourth liners that go out, change the game and turn the momentum around in a series. There's so many things that go on during a series that I hate to keep saying it, but anything can happen. So the hard part is getting to that opportunity. And then the fun part is going through and battling it out.
Hal Gill, our guest, presented by Dunkin', featuring their new location in Belle Meade, TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. Hal, I'm kind of a skeptical sports fan. I don't know if you've noticed this about me. I can be a little pessimistic sometimes. And I look at the Chicago series. whatever you want to call it. I look at the Chicago series. The Predators are 6-0 this year against Chicago. I mean, you know, really have played. I said yesterday before that Chicago, even though they had lost all five matchups previously with the Predators, Chicago could tell themselves that they've outplayed the Predators in those five games. Last night, the Predators totally outplayed Chicago. But I just am so skeptical of the idea that Chicago is not a terrible team. The Predators, I mean, sweeping them is going to be really freaking hard. And I just went into this week saying, I just don't know if it's a fair expectation to say win three games, knowing that Chicago is playing with their season on the line. Then I saw last night and I thought, maybe they can. What do you make of these two games on the road at the United Center, knowing Chicago right now has a 6% chance of making the playoffs? And I'm guessing it's almost non-existent if they lose these two against the Preds.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between you and an athlete, right? An athlete says, I got to go out and win my first shift, and I got to go have a good practice and be ready for the next game, and you take it one at a time. You love to look ahead and say, all right, can they sweep this series? What are the percentages? And you're crunching your numbers, and you're thinking it over in your head. These guys are going to go out and battle one game at a time, and that's really what they're looking at. If you get caught up looking down the stretch and, hey, listen, Chicago, I give them a ton of credit because they were a disaster. Taves was out, and then, you know, Kirby Doc gets injured. It was like they were getting rid of everyone. It was just a miserable off season, and they put up a stink for a long time. They had some good hockey they were playing. I don't think they're a great team, but they have a bright young future with Suter, with Doc. There's good players that are coming through, and obviously DeBrincat, that kid can play. So there's a bright future there, but, I don't think you sleep on this team. I think the Preds can certainly win all these games that they play against them, but they know that they can't take anything for granted. They got to go out and do the work in order to win, and it's been proven. If you go to sleep and you take 5 minutes off, there are good players out there that'll make you pay for it. So the Preds know that. The hard part for the Preds is that every game's a playoff game right now, and every game is huge. I got to be honest with you, it's exhausting. These guys are in a battle every night, and so I have a ton of respect for the effort that they're giving night in and night out right now.
I'll say this. You know, they may make it to the playoffs and get beaten 5 games by Tampa or Carolina, but it is kind of fun, right? Like, this playoff chase down the stretch, it's kind of fun. You know, like, it's every game matters. It's not when they won the President's Trophy, every game mattered because you wanted to be in first place. But I'm not sure it felt like this where, I mean, these Chicago games, these are big freaking games, Hal.
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't that, you nail on the head. I'm proud of you, by the way, because you're embracing the grind. I know that was your slogan last year, but it is a battle. And I've been on both sides of it, where you're battling every night, and I've been on the teams where you just can't seem to lose and you just roll through. More often than not, the battle-tested team puts up a stink in the playoffs, and that's what makes it so much fun, is you're fighting so hard to get in there. Maybe you didn't expect to be into the playoffs, and then you have that level of excitement, and you lose that expectation. How many times have we seen the Preds with just, oh, we expect to get into the finals, and it's not that easy, and a lot of teams have proven as the Preds wrong, and so it'd be nice if the Preds can go in with a little chip on their shoulder this year and get in and prove everyone else wrong, and like they've been the victim the last few years, now they can go and get it done themselves. So it is exciting, and I think that's the mentality that you have to have, is this is fun, this is playoff hockey leading up to the playoffs, so to speak. So this is what guys play for, and this is why guys in the locker room are going to give everything they got.
Hal Gill, he'll be on the call tomorrow night. Special start 6 o'clock, and he'll be on the call Friday night. Harold, appreciate it.
Hey, Jared, you were really well-behaved today, and I appreciate you for that.
You know what? I had a take.
Thank you.
I had a take earlier today that I think you would appreciate.
Nope,
which is
nope. Your time's up, buddy.
I said you would appreciate it.
I just said you were well-behaved. Don't ruin it.
There's probably some truth to that.
You know, you're like my 9-year-old son. I have to, you know, praise you for your good behavior.
But I won't be as tall as him.
Hopefully you'll do it again.
We'll see. We'll see in that regard. Hal Gill, as always, presented by Dunkin', featuring their new location in Belmede, and TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with 5-star service. Hal, appreciate it.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Hal Gill joining us on the program. And, I could have gotten into it with Hal. I could have been like, clearly they lost to Carolina. Maybe they should have sold at the deadline. But I was like, that's rearview mirror. I'm windshield, you know.
Are you? You're turning over a new leaf all of a sudden.
No. That's not. Just because I smashed you in the dueling mock draft does not mean that, you know.
All right, calm down over there.
I'm just saying.
Your Caroline's head's not going to fit through the doorway.
That left the station a long time ago. Caroline's coming up next. Stillman & Company right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Free beer Friday. I hear everybody likes free beer, and we're giving away on Fridays. Tune in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at the Opry Mills Mall. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, everybody seems to love our new gambling segment. It is called Caroline's, where Caroline throws out a bunch of garbage on NBA games, and I just take her to the cleaners. It's time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Okay, Caroline.
I'm going to save you having to sit through my NBA games. We've been doing a lot of hockey games recently, so I decided to pick 2 baseball games. First up, we've got Cardinals-Nationals, Cardinals money line. Adam Wainwright is pitching, is on the mound for the Cardinals.
Okay.
He's
an old peepop.
He is an old peepop. He's a vet, but Patrick Corbin is on the mound for the Nationals, and he has just kind of, in your word, sucks. He has over 21 ERA. He gave up 10 runs in two innings last week to the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks are no World Series contender at this point. And the Cardinals are just better on the road. They average more runs on the road, and they scored 11 runs in the first five innings in yesterday's game against the Nationals. I'm picking the Cards on this one.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals, too. Juan Soto just got placed on the 10-day IL, and he's the best player on the Nationals. Mm-hmm. And I also think that left-handed pitcher Patrick Corbin struggling with control. Paul Goldschmidt's a right-handed hitter. Nolan Arenado is a right-handed hitter. Mm-hmm. I think that
two
I'd much
heavy
rather
hitters.
Two heavy right-handed power bats. I think I will take the Cardinals over the Nationals.
Could you becoming a St. Louis homer? Is that for me?
No, they're pitching a guy who sucks.
I don't know. I like to think that it's for me. Mets Cubs taking the Mets money line. I read an ESPN article this morning that referenced a scout that called the Cubs offense recently almost mind-boggling because it is so bad. The Cubs have a team batting average of like 170 something. They have four players hitting over 200. The Cubs offense, in your word, sucks.
So I did see the Cubs this weekend because they played the Braves. And I saw, I think Friday, I watched on the iPad while I was hosting the show, so I couldn't totally keep up with it. Saturday, the Cubs exploded for 14 runs on the Braves. Sunday, they got their rear end spanked. They gave up four home runs in the first inning. The Cubs freaking suck, man.
The Cubs are not great.
They suck. Their pitching is trash. Like, this is a team that just, like, I know that 2016 was a long time ago. I mean, the Predators spent the whole year until the last month stinking it up, and they were in the Cup Final in 2017. So the Cubs won their World Series in 2016. Mm-hmm. But, like, when they won that World Series in 2016, I thought those were guys that, you know, would one day, you know, this would be, like, a long thing. Like, they were young guys, and they're all still there. And they freaking suck. But the Mets suck, too. Who's pitching for the Mets today?
Taijuan Walker.
I'm going to the Cubs. Okay. I think the Cubs got so embarrassed. Game's on ESPN, by the way. I think they got so embarrassed Sunday night. I think the Cubs will win today. Because I don't believe in the Mets. I'm not a Mets believer.
And if you're going to take anything as well, I would also take the under on this game. You know, both the pitchers are okay. They're all right. But with the Cubs...
Who's pitching for the Cubs?
Jake Arrieta.
2016, he was okay.
It's 2021.
5 years later. 5 years is a long time in pro sports.
He's not terrible. He has an ERA a little over three. Don't hate it.
It's like one start.
Three. I think this is third start.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still going with the Cubs.
Okay.
And okay. Those are Carolines. So now I feel bad because, oh no, you picked the Mets.
I picked the Mets money line.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So now I feel a little bit better about all that.
We'll just pool our money together for the Cardinals money line, and we'll do something fun.
Watch, the Nationals are going to win now. I'm just saying. That's just how betting works. That's just how it all works. I'm not going to hijack this segment, although I would love to. But it is time for our worst take of the day.
The worst take on today's show, as presented by Caroline Fenton.
Ian, will you help me out here?
So freaking lazy. That's what this is. It's lazy. It is so freaking lazy. They just don't want to go to work. That's what it is.
So freaking lazy. Okay, you're not going to participate in voluntary workouts.
Just to set it up, the Titans have opted out of voluntary workouts.
Yes.
And I think it's lazy.
The Titans have opted out of voluntary workouts. Jared is very against it. I don't see, I get the point that, like, you're going to be better if you work out together. You're not going to sit at home and get fat if you don't participate in voluntary workouts. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Is it beneficial? 100%. Are you only hurting yourself if you don't work out?
And your 100%. Fans and your team.
You're hurting your teams. You're hurting your Super Bowl chances.
And your fans.
You're not, and your fans. You're not going to sit at home and get fat. These guys would not be professional athletes if all they wanted to do was sit at home and be lazy.
Jadeveon Clowney?
I'm not going to... That's a different story. I don't know if he's participating in voluntary workouts.
He didn't participate in training camp last year. Well, hey, if I'm not going to get full price, I don't want to go to training camp. How'd that work out?
How did I know for some reason that you were going to bring up Jadeveon Clowney anytime we talk about the NFL?
Because it's
even
lazy.
Even if we talk about the Preds, Jadeveon Clowney is going to come
lazy.
Up.
Because it's lazy. It's lazy, and he's lazy, and I'm glad he's not here anymore. Oh, I'm so glad. But no, I don't think it's the Titans. I don't think it's the Titans players saying, hey, we don't want to be a team and work out together. I don't think the Titans players are worried about COVID, and that's why they're not going to work out together. I think the union has convinced the players this is the right thing to do, and because the NFL players union is stupid, like Major League Baseball is stupid, I think that this is going to be a bad thing. I'm against it.
It's not a good thing, but I'm not going to say that the players are going to sit at home and be lazy and get fat.
They don't want to go to work. They don't want to go to work. A lot of us have to go to work every day. Some of us don't get to go to work for 5 months out of the year and then just kind of pack it in and do whatever we want to do. But apparently that's the life of an NFL player. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Preds Insiders, and boy, do they have a lot to go inside on, is coming up next. We will see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.